those of you that have been here with us the last couple of times I have stood before you, I've discussed the fact that we're all in a spiritual warfare, that we all have a fight that we have to fight, and that we can't just be on the sidelines and just let it go on. We're in it one way or the other. And we talked about the things worth fighting for. And we discussed three things that were worth fighting for. One was our calling. Our calling is worth fighting for. Who God has created me to be is worth fighting for. The second thing we discussed is that our family is worth fighting for. The person beside you is our family. They are worth fighting for. And not just necessarily the persons or that came from our household. Even the person in front of us and behind us, our church family, are our family, and they too are worth fighting for. And the third thing we discussed was that our substance is worth fighting for, that we are to honor God with what it is that he has entrusted us to have and honor and glorify him even with our substance. Because God wants us to grow from being a small acorn to an oak tree. And so when I was asked to come and speak to you all here today, I've been on that thought. This growing from an acorn to an oak tree. And with my recent assignment being changed so that now I am the director of the children's ministry. I've been thinking about that because I remember that Sunday where I stood here and said that I fight, we fight for one another, and that each and every person here gets what it is that they need to be the oak tree in the community in which they belong to. And so I've been thinking about our young people. I've been thinking about our children. And realize that even they too, they are worth fighting for. And so that is the title of today's sermon, From Acorns to Oak Trees. Our children are worth fighting for. And so I look at this acorn here, and I began to ask myself, if this acorn is in the middle of a field somewhere, and it's here now and gone tomorrow, would anybody care? Would anybody know that there was an acorn that was just here 24 hours ago? No. However, if this acorn was planted and became an oak tree, and an oak tree was in the midst of this community, it was here today, but for some reason tomorrow that oak tree is not there, would people care? Yeah, they would care. You think about it. You think about your childhood neighborhood. You think about all the various things that are there. It's like, you know, I remember doing X here. We'll call that an oak tree. I remember getting shade from this oak tree. I remember building a treehouse in this oak tree. I remember having a picnic here on my first date under this oak tree. I remember me and your mother, we carved our initials here in this oak tree. So people have a sentiment to oak trees. People have sentiment to things that make an impact in the community that is around them. And you say, well, what does that have to do with our children? I am so glad you asked. Because remember what we've been talking about. We've been talking about each and every one of us as an acorn that God has desired to become an oak tree, right? So an oak tree makes a difference where it is that it has been planted. We are talking about for our children, no matter where it is they may have been planted, whether it's at school or the playground or wherever else, they make a difference where it is they are. I want it to be said, if anything were to happen, our child moves away or whatnot, that there's something lacking because they are not here anymore, that they've made an impact here. And so with that thought process in mind, we'll go to, well, first, let me introduce what the mission of the children's ministry is. And is we equip children to know, grow, and show Christ's love. Three things: know, grow, and show Christ's love. So I just want to talk about those three components there, if you will. Know, grow, and show Christ's love. The first one is to know Christ's love. What does that mean? What does it mean to know Christ's love? Our mission downstairs, with each lesson that we teach, is to show children who God is. Who God is in the world, not the fact that he is just somebody in this book that we carry and that we love and we talk about. That God is real. And that God is real and that he wants to have a personal relationship with them too. That the things that we read about in scripture are not just for those people there, but that God is willing and he wants to do it for each and every one of them. And then there, I see the children that are here, and I see the fact that there are some that they do know God. They know God. Any child in here say no, they know God? Raise a hand. Oh, a little bit higher. It's not just for me. Right. We want them to know God. Matthew 19. We're going to read verses 13 and 14. And this is what we do every Sunday here. Now I'm reading from the King James Bible there. The words will be up there on the screen as well. And it says this: then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Each and every child here is a picture of the kingdom of heaven. Amen? Amen. They are a picture of the kingdom of heaven. And so, as Christ wanted those little children to come unto him, he wanted to have a personal relationship with each and every one of them. And so it is our job, my job as director, and those that volunteer and teach downstairs, to have these children know God in a way that is relevant to them. In a way that is relevant to them. And so we have discussions, and we have various activities, all geared and designed so that they can meet God in the individual context that they are in. So that they can know God out there on the playground. That they can know God in the library, in the classroom, and even right here in the house of God as well. We want our children to know him for themselves, not because mom and dad and the people at church said so, but because I got a chance to see him for myself. That's the first thing. We want them to know Christ's love. That Christ loves them, that Christ died for them. I forgot to read this here. At one important aspect that Christ died for them, Romans 5:8 says that God commends his love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God says that they are worth fighting for here too. And so we just want to tap into that. We want to exhibit and show to them God's love and that they can know it for themselves. Second one is to grow in Christ's love. It's one thing to know it, but we don't want them just to have a head knowledge of it, right? We can just tell the stories and they just have a head knowledge. But we want them to experience it and to grow in that, right? Again, it's moving from an acorn to an oak tree. Ephesians 4:13-14 says this, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, that is complete, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Remember a couple sermons ago that I preached, I said that, you know, we need to watch our minds. And the things that influence our minds are what? The things we see, the things we hear, and the people that are around us. And so while we are here, we want them to see, hear, and be around people who are going to grow and encourage them to enrich them in Christ. Why? Because the television shows that they're watching don't elevate Christ. Because there are people, students in the classroom that don't elevate Christ, that will use peer pressure to do the wrong thing, going against what God said. And so we want more of the positive influences than the negative ones so that they can stand firm in what it is that they know and say, you know what? Yeah, you guys may be going that way, but I know the right thing is to go this way. And to have the integrity to go that way and to be a light and an example to the children that are also there in whatever context they're in. So again, the first thing that we want them to do is to know Christ's love. Know it for themselves. Experience it for themselves. And to grow in it. Why? Because the attacks even come to them even at a young age. To try and pull them away from Christ, but if they are rooted and grounded in that love that they know, they'll be able to rise up and root up to be the mighty oak tree that God has desired for them to be. And the last one, quite simply, is to show God's love. Is to show it. Again, it's one thing to know. It's one thing to grow. But it means nothing if you're not showing it to anybody. Amen. That is akin to what the Bible says, you're taking a light and you hide it under a bushel, under a basket. Nobody's influenced by that. The light's good for nothing at that point. However, it's supposed to be in front of people so that they can see that God also loves them and wants a personal relationship with them too, and that they can also influence and have them grow as well. So we want them to show Christ's love. 1 Peter 3, 8 and 9 says, finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, nor railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. So that word there in verse 8, compassion. I love that word. What does compassion mean? Compassion means I see the needs of others, but am moved to act on it and moved to go and fill the need that they have wherever it is that they need it. Whether, you know, my friend is having a bad day today, they got a bad grade on their test, and says, well, you know what, I know you didn't do good on this test, but let me help you. Let me help tutor you so you get a better grade the next time. Whether that is someone sitting off in the cafeteria by themselves versus going to sit with their friends, they take their lunch and say, let me sit with you today. How are you doing? And building that relationship there. Whether it is they're out recess and they're off playing by themselves, they look dejected and say, no, why don't you come and play with us over here? Those are some of the tangible ways that they can show Christ's love in their context. Compassion's not about me. So that's what we aim to teach them, that we're all in this here together, that we are to love one another because someone else showed that same love to them. So I think about in my own life when I was a child, and I remember this individual, his name was Brian, and every week, because back then I didn't have much friends, every week he came over to the house and we just sat and we talked together. He took the time out to show me and teach me about Christ. And not just, we didn't only do that. You know, he also brought video games over, and we got to play video games with my brothers as well. But he really made a lasting impact on me in a time where, yeah, I had family members that had a church, and, you know, we went to church now and again, but that to me was just, okay, you guys are just clapping and whatnot. I don't know what that is, but he made it real for me. He took the time out and showed me that God wants the same relationship with you that he has with me, that he has with those people that you say just are just there clapping. And let's make that real. And so that made a profound impact and a difference on me too. And so that's what has led me here and now. So three things that we as a children's ministry aim to do. And that is to equip children to know God's love, grow in God's love, and show God's love. So I know I'm pretty much primarily in a room full of adults, right? And so the question is, okay, that's great. That's you guys' goal for downstairs, but what about me? See, y'all asked the great questions. I'm glad you asked that. I'm so glad you did, because these are our takeaways for you. One, pray for our children. Pray for them. Not necessarily just the ministry downstairs. Yes, you can pray for that too, and I thank you for that. And for those that have been praying, I thank you in advance. But pray for our children. There's more attack now on them than there ever has been before. Pray for them. The second thing I'm going to ask and charge every one of you with is to be that positive role model in front of them, to model it in front of them, model what it looks like to know God's love. Model in front of them what it looks like to grow in Christ's love and model in front of them what it looks like to show Christ's love to other people. Why? I've said this and a big proponent of it. What the adults do in moderation, the children will do in excess. And so if they see you doing the right things, they're going to want to do it and take it further. Likewise, on the other side, if they see you doing the wrong things, that you say, yeah, I love God and I love others, but they see you cuss out Uncle so-and-so. They hear you talking bad about this one or that one. They're gonna take that and think that's acceptable. And do the same thing to somebody else. And the last thing, if you're daring, is become a teacher or volunteer downstairs. Amen. We need the help. I'm not even going to lie to you. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. We need the help. And the lack thereof of teachers or volunteers, it's not us, the adults, who suffer. It's the children who suffer. Because they are missing out opportunities, again, to know Christ's love, to grow in it, and to show it to others. Last thing I want to say before we call it done. Can you put the mission up there again? I've highlighted a certain word, we. So when I first said it, you probably thought we as in, oh, the children's ministry, we, right? Yeah, go ahead. You can say that. All right. We equip children to know, grow, and show Christ's love. But guess what? That we is not just me, the teachers, and the volunteers who are downstairs. The we includes a very special and important person. Anyone can guess who it is? Kaya, say it one more time. Louder. Yeah. Did you hear her? Did you guys over here hear her? Right. One more time, Kai. I don't think they heard you.
You.
There you go. We need you. We need you. Again, this is not just a Sunday experience, but this is a Monday through Sunday experience. So that takes place when they're at home, in that school, as well as what it is that they do here. And so for the adults, again, in the next coming weeks, we're going to give you tools so that you can continue the lessons and continue the conversations that we have downstairs at home through the rest of the week as well. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We're standing.